blessing, ain't it?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that my name is there. It won't be misplaced or overlooked. Amen. Thank the Lord. I know that there are books in heaven. The Bible tells us that there are books. And one of them is the Book of Life. Amen. Those whose names are written in the Book of Life, they will not have to worry about facing the eternal fire that the Bible speaks of. We're living in a time where people don't want God, they don't want His Son, and to ease that, they don't even want to believe that there's a fire that they'll have to face. I guess if you call that easing it, I know just simply being without God in eternity would be suffering enough, but it's more than that. It's more than just being separated from God. The Lord spent more time preaching about that place called hell than He did about heaven, didn't He? He sure did. And I know that the Scripture is full of passages on hell, hell from beneath. Where hell is, what hell is, describing it. I had an older man just recently tell me, you know, that he believed people would just burn up. But, you know, us that are saved, we're going to have a body that will endure eternity.
Amen.
That'll live forever. Well, it just common sense that they're going to have a body that'll die forever. The second death, that's what the second death is, that eternal death, that dying and never dying, never perishing completely away. And it's awful, awful to think about. If you have your Bible, go to Matthew 22 this morning. Matthew chapter 22. I want to look in Matthew 22 in this first part about the parable of the marriage supper, this wedding banquet that takes place. I'm not preaching about the time of this or the significance of it or as far as the complete meaning of this, but rather some things that we find in this that we can see are very similar to those that refuse the gospel today. In Matthew 22, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers, burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Again, I am looking specifically today at what we can see in this parable concerning those that reject the invitation, that reject the gospel of God that God has so freely given to humanity, given to mankind, given to all. It's not just the gospel to the Jew today. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, to the whole world. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When the apostles first went in the book of Acts to go into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth, they were to go everywhere preaching and teaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried and risen again. So we see, I want you to look at a spiritual application in what we can find here in Matthew 22. Some things that to me are very, very sad. They're very disturbing things. But this is the way that it is. And this is what happens. You see, a person doesn't just say, no, thank you. There's more going on than just that. And so we see here in verse number 3, he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. The invitation is there. They can come. The call has been made. The Bible said they that were bidden. They that were bidden. That's what he's talking about in verse 3. To call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. They would not come. What I want to preach about this morning is why not come today? Why not come today? God, of course, here in this is a beautiful picture of several things. And again, that's not the message this morning. There's a lot can be seen in here. You can see him coming to the Jew rejecting him. He coming to his own received him not. And of course, him turning to the Gentile. You can see that picture there. But I'm not preaching necessarily on that this morning. You can see other things. You can see what looks like a marriage supper. Amen. But it is definitely this wedding banquet that a certain king had made for the marriage of his son. Jesus is giving this great example of the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven, in many parables, he said, is likened unto. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. And you and I, listen, right now, you and I can see and hear the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. It is going out day by day. And people that are being saved are entering into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Entering into God's kingdom, to the kingdom of our Lord. And it's, but God says he sent forth his servants. Now when the Lord this is a perfect picture of how the gospel goes out. You see, the sinner doesn't just find his way to God. And a person doesn't just find their way into the marriage supper. There is someone sent with a message that there is a wedding taking place. There is a supper, and you are invited. That are those that are called to preach the gospel. Are you listening? And they give that message every week, week after week, bidding many to come. Sometimes bidding the same over and over. Come to the wedding. Come to the marriage supper. And he sent forth his servants. God sends his servants forth to call them. To herd them that are called. The Bible lets us know that those are people that he has urged to come. When he calls them, he is urging them to come. Do you remember how God said, go into highways and the hedges and compel them? That's a Greek word for twist the arm. It's a compelling word. To compel them. And so them that he calls, he is urging them to come to this supper. Listen, this just ain't any supper. This is not just any invitation. It's not a graduation invitation. That, you know, you could go or not go. This is not your third cousin's sister's aunt removed. Are you listening? That you can dismiss. Nobody really cares. This invitation is a must. You must show at this invitation. It's urgent that you show at this invitation. Amen. This is the great wedding. This is the great invitation. This is not something that you just set aside and forget about. You make sure that you RSVP. You make sure your reservation's made. You make sure that you're there. He sent forth his servants to call them urgently that were bidden. Them that were bidden. Those that were urged, those that were called, those that the Bible said that he sent forth those servants to call and to bid them to come to this wedding. They would not come. They would not come. The language of these words that he uses, they would not come. Means they had determined to choose and prefer something else. They had determined they weren't coming. When they heard the call, they determined they weren't coming. When they heard the call, they chose not to come. See, you can choose to come or not. The choice is yours. God has always given men a choice in this matter. Amen. And you say, what choice do we have? If we don't come, we'll burn. That's right. There's nowhere else to go. To whom shall we go? Peter knew that. When he told that to, Jesus told that to Peter. Thou hast the words of eternal life, Peter said. To whom shall we go? Nowhere else to go. No other place to go. This is the invitation. This is where everybody's going or not going. Amen. You're either going here or you're not going here. You're either going to show up or not. All are being called. But they chose and they preferred not when they said they would not. That's an absolute negative. An absolute negative. They would not come. That's absolutely, they had determined in their heart, we will not come to this wedding. These people had said it in their heart just to that place. There are sinners every week pushing back. Don't care what he says, I'm not going. I'm not going to that altar. I'm not praying. I'm not getting saved. I like my life. I like the way I'm living. I'm enjoying my world, and I'm enjoying my flesh and my fun and my sin. And no matter what he says or what they do, no matter how great the call, I can remember being lost. And there's sometimes the call seemed greater than others. Urgently, God was pulling at me. Pulling and pulling, as if to say, you don't have much time left. The invitation's about over. Why? Because the wedding, marriage, supper is about to start. And when it starts, listen, there is no, oh, let me hurry up and go. You've got to go and determine that right now. Right now is the time. Now is the accepted time. It's what the Bible said. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen. They absolutely determined. Nay, no, they would not. No, never. That's what they meant. No, never. Can you imagine people being that hard, but yet there are hearts that hard, refusing to be saved? Now, never, and no, never. Lord, have mercy that someone could say never, never. No, but never. Not just no, never. Oh my, to say that. They said, we will not come. We will not appear. We will not enter. We will not resort to the wedding. We're not going. We're not going to go. Absolutely not. Never will we go. That's the heart of many today. That's why it seems like there's fewer and fewer being saved. Listen, I hope when you hear of reports about these places, I mean that you know, they're having all these oodlings of people say, I really hope they're being saved. I truly do. I'd rather somebody be saved as to die in their sin any day of the week. I really hope for them to be saved. But it worries me in the day that we're living in if many of them really know what it means to truly be born again. What must take place? I've preached it here many times. There must be a drawing of the Spirit. Jesus said, no man come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. There's a drawing of the Spirit. Except you repent, Jesus said, you shall all likewise perish. There must be a repentance. Not just faith, not just believe and receive. It's repent, believe, and receive. I don't care what the theologians are saying today. You cannot take repentance out from what the Lord has so many times. That was His first words. Repent and believe the gospel. That was John's first words. Repent and believe the gospel. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. Oh my, I know faith seems to be, You know, it's a weighty thing. You're looking at a preacher that believes repentance is just as weighty. As to faith. You've got to turn to Christ. You're turning to Him, that's faith. But you're turning from, that's repentance. There has to be a turning around somewhere. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I didn't make myself a new creature. He made me a new creature. Amen. I didn't turn over any new leaves. I couldn't. I tried. I didn't get nowhere, Brother Danny. I was the same sinner I was before I started turning over new leaves. Amen. But until God worked in me a work of grace, that's God's power. God's power to work in you and I, His grace. Salvation is of the Lord. It is Him. It is Him. It is Him that gives it. They are called. They would not come. The Bible said in verse number 4, again, which means once more. And it also means anew. You may have said no once before to the point that it would make the gates of hell shake and heaven cry. But you walk back in a house of God again, and now grace anew. Again, one more time. God stretching out His hand, saying, come unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. I am God. There is none else. Come to me and drink, all that are thirsty. Amen. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Again, God's hand is stretched out once more. He sent forth other servants. That word sent forth is word apostello, is where Jesus called his apostles. Those sent forth with a message. Apostello, he sent forth. Do you know the very apostles of Jesus Christ had their great call given from Him specifically to bring me and you the message? Isn't that great? That God would call men that were close to Him, men of great power. Now thank God for ministers, evangelists, pastors, missionaries. But in the beginning, He called His apostles, those sent forth with a message. What were they going for saying? Come to the marriage. Come to the Lord. Come to Jesus. Over and over, they were whipped. They were persecuted. They were cast out. They were stoned. They were mocked, put in prison. Some killed. Are you listening to me? They could not change their mind. Why? Because of the call and the message. They were apostles. They were men called with a message. And they couldn't get away from it. Couldn't get away from it. No matter what I try to do in this world, I know God's called me to preach. There's been times I thought maybe I could do something else. And I'll never forget something my granddaddy said many years ago. He said, God's man, his business is to preach the book. He said, that's his whole business. Amen. Amen. God burns a message in man. And he does that for you, the sinner. God wants you to hear. God wants you to hear well. God wants you to know what He's saying. And God wants you to know you have an invitation. You have an invitation to come. He sent forth other servants. Other servants. Other individuals. Now, the word servants here, sometimes he uses, is the word slave. But here, it's a voluntary servant. It's a bond slave. If you that know the Bible know what that means. This is a fully devoted servant. He's not an involuntary slave. He's a fully devoted, voluntary servant of the King. A bond servant. Gladly to come. And he bids them to tell them, to bring word again. To say on. Same message. I'm glad that what Peter and James and John and Paul preached us today, we're just saying on. Amen? Say on. Same thing. Same invitation. Same Lord. Amen? Same book. Same word. Same power. Same Holy Ghost. Same invitation. Same church. Amen. Thank God to be in a church today with God's people. Are you listening to me? That's the real church. He sent four servants telling them which were bidden. I have prepared. I have provided. I have made ready. Behold, I have prepared, don't you notice this, my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed. He uses that, my. You know, and what that means is, it is of me. It's what I have provided. All this is of me, God is saying. The message, the invitation, the wedding, the food that'll be there. Are you hearing me? My dinner, my oxen, my fatlands, it is of me. It's my, I have provided everything for you. He provided a son, a Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Amen. God gave us His Son. For God so loved the world, He gave. My Lamb. Think about that. When you read that, think about how good God is to give us a place to hear, to give us a message to tell, to be able to sit in a place. A lot of people today, they won't hear this message. They're going to hear something else. And it's false. And it's giving them false hope. Many, many. But here you are. Here you are. God has provided this for you. You say, God did all that for me. That's pretty big, Brother Mark. Yes, God did all of this for you. Every saved person in here knows the day they got saved, it was as if God did it all for them. Amen? He let us know just how much He loved us. Amen? To give us that opportunity, then to call us, and then to meet us, amen, where we were. meet us as sinners and lift us up, amen, out of the miry clay and set our feet on a rock. Establish our goings. Make us sons and daughters of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. I have prepared my dinner. Everything is ready. Everything is ready. Everything is prepared. I have prepared. Everything's ready. When everything's ready, that means the event's about to start. The Lord told us, you know, no man knows the day nor the hour when our Lord doth come. No, not the angels in heaven. Jesus said, but my Father only. But he said, you're not ignorant that that day should overtake you as a thief. All things are now ready. Jesus said, I go away in John 14 to prepare. He's been preparing, and now he's saying all things are ready. All things are now ready. It's of him. It's all of him. He made it. He prepared it. Prepared it for us to come and enjoy. Everything's prepared. But the Bible said in verse 5, look at this, they made light of it. That were these that said, no, never, are still making light of it. Of all that he did. I mean, here he has sent out two invitations. One to say it was going to happen. Another to say it's now ready. That was common back then. You send out one, and it's common today, one to make the announcement, and then one to get ready to come eat. Of this first call, there were none that came. You have to read on down where after the first call, then he tells servants, he said, go into the highways and the hedges, get the good, the bad. That was the second call. Of that first call, all that were bidden, I don't find anybody except. It's getting bad when you don't hardly see anybody accepted. Do you know that? I mean, it's getting scary to me when you don't hardly see anybody accepting the invitation. God's going to get them in that'll be in. And them that the Bible said they made light of it. They neglected it. They had no regard for it. They went their way. In other words, they went off. They just departed. Reminds me of that verse over in John. They went out from us. They were not of us. If they were of us, they would have no doubt continued with us, but they went out. It reminds me of those when Jesus stood up, you know, over there and he told them, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. Many of them turned and walked no more. They left. They just went off. Went off. People are turning and going off every day, making light. You know why I say making light? Because if they realized the gravity of this invitation, if they knew what hell really held for them, what eternity meant to be without Christ and without God, there's no way they'd turn and walk away. How could they? How could somebody, other than just being a fool, not believing in God or any of this, to turn and walk away? But they made light of it. You'll find in the book of Luke a similar, it may be the very same one in Luke 14. After God sent messengers, gave the divine call, the call was refused. You know, there's an accepted time. You do know that, don't you? God's divine pleadings, not just once, but twice. God making preparation, saying come, for people to still despise and be self-willed and worldly. And here in Matthew, they even begin to persecute his servants and even killed some. You'll find that similar or maybe the same story in Luke. One said, I've got to go to a piece of ground. Here, the invitation was given and one had to go to a farm. Another one is merchandise. Piece of ground, and another guy, his little emporia, his trade, his merchandise was more important than this invitation. There's nothing more important than the invitation. I don't care what you've got going on. There's nothing more important than this invitation. Absolutely nothing. Verse number 6, I'm about done. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. That was after the others had left, some was gone, and those remnant, those are the others that remained. They just entreated them spitefully and slew them. I'm not interested in getting down here in the rest of this. Again, today I'm preaching about this invitation and how people today are saying no and pushing back and they will not come. Jesus told those Jews in one place, he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. That's scary. He knew what was in them when he said, you will not come. Here in this verse 3, they would not come. I'm asking you right now, why not come today? Why not come? Is there going to be a better day? Is there going to be another invitation? I can't. Listen, it's not for me to say there's going to be another invitation. It's not for me to say we've got one more day to even give an invitation. But listen, my invitation is different than his invitation. I could stand here and plead, but he's got to grab you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And you've got to open. You've got to accept him. You've got to want him to come in. I want you to stand. I'm done.